We talk Tennessee football every single day here on Locked On Vols, but what about those Tennessee opponents? One of the toughest opponents year in and year out, one of the biggest rivals for the University of Tennessee, that is the Florida Gators. What should we expect from the Florida Gators in that third matchup of the season for Tennessee? And of course, the Gators year two with Billy Napier. Well, we're talking Tennessee-Florida, that rivalry here on Locked On Vols on a Tuesday.
You are Locked On Vols, your daily podcast on the Tennessee Volunteers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is up, everybody? Welcome into it. It's your Tuesday edition of Locked On Vols. I am your host, Eric Kane. Appreciate you guys being here with me today and hanging out. Shout out everydayers for making this show possible, for making this show what it is today. We'll get to your questions coming up in segment number three of today's show, so looking forward to that. As I said in the cold open, going to start a little new series here, and we'll hit on it this week and then whenever I get back in town. But I'm going to take a look at some of the SEC opponents for Tennessee. And luckily, when you work for the Locked On Podcast Network, the majority of the time there is a host that we can talk to. So we're going to bring on Brandon Olson here in just a moment to talk about the Florida Gators, that matchup with Tennessee last year, the matchup coming up this fall, and who we should expect Florida to be this year in another rebuilding year for Billy Napier, year number two in the system. So that's what you have to look forward to coming up here on today's Locked On Vols. Please subscribe to Locked On Vols on the YouTube channel if you haven't already. Anywhere you get your podcasts, we're a part of the Locked On Podcast Network. That is your team every single day. So without further ado, let's bring him on. If I can find my mouse here, there it is. Brandon Olson of Locked On Gators. What's up, man?
I'm excited to be here. I love it. I think your listeners like me more than mine, so that's fine.
My listeners don't like anybody. They don't like me half the time, so that's just life in the SEC for football, I guess. But man, happy to have you here. And for those of you guys, Brandon's come on the show a couple of times, and when we do crossovers and everything, Brandon stepped in and was the leader of our channel for a couple of months when Zach Blackerby was off for, you know, having a baby, him and his wife. So Brandon did an awesome job and is one of the key producers for the Locked On Podcast Network, so he does an awesome job. But his specialty is the Florida Gators, and Tennessee fans don't like Florida fans, vice versa. Tennessee doesn't like Florida, one of the biggest rivalries in all of college football. Tennessee finally got a win in this series, first one since 2016 and the second one since like 2004 or something. I don't know, it's been forever. That was last fall. But what about this fall? What should we expect? Just kind of a broad overview of who Florida is right now going into 2023.
I think you're going to get a better Florida Gator team this year, just with a lower ceiling. Like last year, you had Anthony Richardson in Gainesville. So it was, oh, you could see anything here. He can run for an 80-yard touchdown. He could throw for an 80-yard touchdown. Graham Mertz is not going to be doing that exactly, but I think that you're looking at a team that has a higher floor but a lower ceiling. I think that's what you're going to get from Florida, less volatility. Whether or not that's good or not, we'll see, but I think that's what you're going to get this year.
It's year number two with Billy Napier, and you know, the first year, as you mentioned, the ceiling was high because of the personnel that you had. I mean, look at Anthony Richardson. He went fourth overall to the Indianapolis Colts, and you know, as a Titans fan, full disclosure, sitting at 11, if Richardson were to have fallen to 11 and they would have gotten him, I could understand it. I mean, get it, you know, fall in the Tennessee program. I understand you're trained not to like other players, but you can definitely see it. I did not want Will Levis, and lo and behold, they trade up and get Will Levis in the second round. But jury's out on Anthony Richardson, because if he can figure it out, he can absolutely do it. But, you know, Graham Mertz is nowhere close to the quarterback, to the athletes, than Anthony Richardson. However, maybe there could be some more consistency in that offense. Do you kind of see that maybe as being a potential for Florida on offense this year?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that Florida's offense is kind of going to produce the same numbers in terms of like yards per game, yards per play, points per game. But I think it's going to come a different way. I think you're going to see it more from the actual just churning of the clock here where, yeah, Graham Mertz isn't going to give you those 80-yard plays, but what he is going to do that Anthony Richardson struggled with last year is he's going to hit the 10-yard dig. He's going to hit the 8-yard dig. He's going to hit those routes that are so important in Billy Napier's offense that Anthony Richardson just seemed to miss or ideally he's going to hit those routes that Anthony Richardson seemed to miss. But yeah, he's not going to give you those explosive plays, but I do think that you're going to get a little more comfort, we'll say, in the passing game.
Safe to say Graham Mertz doesn't have what it takes to come back down. What was it, Brandon? 21 points with 4 minutes and change to go and almost win a game on the road. I don't see that type of performance from Graham Mertz, but maybe if you had Graham Mertz, maybe you're not in that situation on the road.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's just there was a lot of volatility at the quarterback position last year. And look, I love Anthony Richardson. I love what he brings to the table. Like, that Utah game will forever be one of the best football games I've ever seen at any level in person. But yeah, I just think that there were too many. You look at the very next week, Kentucky last year was so frustrating. I remember doing our lockdown now and I was like, just go to the triple option. Just go to the option because we can't complete passes. Kentucky and South Florida. And I think that you lose those moments, but you also lose the comeback against Tennessee. You lose the comeback against LSU and you lose some of that greatness, but you also gain a little bit of comfort there and a safety blanket at quarterback.
What's the feeling around Gainesville right now? Are fans pleased with Napier? what's the talk around Gainesville right now with the expectation of what? I don't know what FanDuel has that win total at. I would imagine it's probably at 8.
FanDuel has 5.5.
Are you kidding me?
5.5, yeah.
Good Lord. Well, take the over there. Maybe not many more.
Definitely take the over.
You 100% take the over there if you're betting on that total. But well, what's kind of the gosh, I was way off there. What's kind of the talk around Billy Napier in that program right now?
Yeah, don't worry. You weren't way off. FanDuel was way off. but I think right now when you ask the Florida Gators fan base, they're very impatient here. And I think that they want immediate success.
We wouldn't know anything about that in Knoxville. Just so
you know. Who would? But I think that the thing is, like, you want immediate success. And I understand that. But this program was in very bad shape when Dan Mullen left. Like, you look at who was on that roster. There wasn't a ton of talent. The starting safety last year ran 4.8s at the NFL Combine before they both went undrafted. Like, that's what we're talking about with who was out here. And so I think that fan base is like, okay, great recruiting class. We're going to be right back on top, and we're going to get right back in there. Realistically, it's going to take a couple years. This year is going to be, I think, similar results to last year. I think you're looking at barely bowl eligible. If you get a tough team in the bowl game, you probably lose that one. But I think that when you look at the process and how things are shaping up, you look at last year's recruiting class, you look at so far what 2024's recruiting class looks like, you're looking at a program that is rebounding. It's just not going to be like that.
Who are some names that Tennessee fans need to be on the lookout for? Of course, it's always so early in the season. At least it doesn't decide who's going to go on to it. A lot of times it still could decide, but right now it doesn't decide who goes on to Atlanta like it used to and ultimately have a chance at the national championship. But it's third week of the season. It's early game in September. Who should Tennessee fans be on the lookout for now with Florida, now that your spring practice is over and it's kind of a new vibe down there in Gainesville?
I think Tennessee fans are probably going to get used to seeing number 33 on defense, Princely Umamielen. That dude's a beast.
One more time, what was that name?
Princely Umamielen.
Okay.
I had people that, and I love telling this story because it's amazing to me, but I had people that work in the NFL, like four NFL teams, watching Jervon Dexter for the NFL draft, watching Brenton Cox for the NFL draft, Ventrell Miller, Amari Bernie, all those guys. I had multiple people that work in the NFL that were like, Princely Umamielen is the best player on that defense. So I think that he's kind of flown under the radar, but this year he's moving to Jack linebacker, so he gets to stand up and rush the passer. And I think that he's just in prime position to succeed a ton with this defense.
Bring him back a couple wide receivers, right?
Yeah. Ricky Pearsall is back he was the leading receiver last year. He's back for 2023.
I think he's the one, correct me if I'm wrong, where Tennessee's defense just didn't want to tackle him, had him wrapped up like twice and he wouldn't score. That was annoying.
Yeah, he did that. He's slick Rick. He does that all the time. But yeah, then you've mostly depth comes back at that point. Xavier Henderson's in the transfer portal. Justin Shorter's with the Buffalo Bills. But Marcus Burke, 6'4", 4.4, 4.5 speed. Going to be pretty difficult to cover this year.
All right, more with Brandon Olson coming up here next on Locked On Vols. We'll get into your Twitter Tuesday mailbag edition questions in segment number three. What should we expect from Tennessee and Florida in 2023 and this rivalry? And what about the pecking order? Where does Brandon see Tennessee and Florida in relation to Georgia and Alabama on the other side, LSU on the other side? That's what you have to look forward to coming up next right here on Locked On Vols. Hey guys, NBA playoffs, they are going on now. They'll be going on for what feels like two more months, right? It's a long time, and there's many, many chances where you can put some coin in your pocket over at FanDuel Sportsbook. New customers, a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. What that means is $1,000 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Great promotions every single day over at FanDuel Sportsbook. We're talking NBA playoffs right now, but NASCAR every single weekend, that's where I make some money. If you've never bet on NASCAR, I encourage you to do so at FanDuel Sportsbook because it is a hoot. It's a blast. But also golf and Major League Baseball. They've got safe, secure, easy-to-use app where you get your money instantly. You win a bet, you don't have to wait for a payout a week later or anything like that. You get paid instantly over at FanDuel Sportsbook. But right now with the NBA playoffs, go to FanDuel.com/LockedOn and sign up for the no-sweat first bet. It's up to $1,000 back. That's FanDuel.com/LockedOn. FanDuel, official sports betting partner of the NBA. Welcome back into your Tuesday edition of Locked On Vols. I'm your host, Eric Kane, @_Kaner, @LockedOnVols, where you can find us every single day. Shout out everydayers. As we bring back Brandon Olson to the show, he's the host of Locked On Gators. Give him a follow on Twitter @WNS_Brandon. Tell us about your other venture, Whole Nine Sports, I believe, and that's kind of where the Twitter name comes from. What is that all about, and what can we learn if we followed your work there?
Everything you possibly can about the NFL draft. that's the bread and butter there.
Speaking of, what'd you like about Tennessee showing in the NFL draft? Hooker in the third round, Darnell Wright in the top 10. Hyatt and Tillman going back-to-back in the 73-74. What'd you like about that?
I love Hyatt. I do. I'm a Giants fan. I cover the Giants, too. So I love Hyatt being there. I think that the NFC East hasn't seen someone like him since DeSean Jackson was in there.
I had heard repeatedly that the Giants loved Hyatt throughout this entire process. As the process went on, they were not going to take him with 25 or 26, whatever that was, but I could have saw them taking him in the second round. They eventually moved up to ensure that they got him in the third round, so I think that's going to be a good option for Danny Dimes, too. You look at Florida's schedule. Of course, you got Tennessee there in week three. Who's Florida going to be by the time you see Tennessee? You got Utah at the top, and that's going to be really, really challenging. You got a breather with McNeese. You got Tennessee, then Charlotte, and then you get into that SEC schedule. Who are you expecting Florida to be by the time week three rolls around and Florida hosts Tennessee in the Swamp?
Yeah, that's it. I still don't think that by week three we'll really see what this Florida team is made of, because you look at Utah right now, their starting quarterback, Cam Rising, his status is still up in the air. Tore his ACL in the bowl game. Not sure if he's going to be good to go. And if he is he going to be the Cam Rising that can run for, 33-yard first downs like he did last year? Or is he going to be Cam Rising that's kind of reserved to being a pure pocket passer, which he can do, but obviously he won't be as good as he can be if he can't run the ball. And then McNeese should be easy. I will never call a game easy again after last year. And I was like, oh, South Florida's an easy win. And then Florida barely won it. So I'm not going to
lose it. Tennessee lost Georgia State back in 2018 or 19 or whatever. So
yeah, that's why I'm not chalking them anymore. But I will say that I think with Utah not having Cam Rising, with Florida facing McNeese State, hosting McNeese State too, like it's tough to go into the Swamp and win no matter who you are. I don't think we'll really know what Florida is by week three. I think week three is where we will find out. What are you really made of, Gators?
2 or 3 years ago, did Florida lose to Georgia Southern? Or am I making that up?
That was a while ago. They did lose to Georgia Southern, but it was 2012. Jerick McKinnon was the quarterback for Georgia Southern. So It was that long ago.
More than 2 or 3 years ago. More than 2 or 3 years ago. Why is the Swamp so, and you can ask this about any SEC fan base, SEC Stadium, Neyland Stadium, why is the Swamp so difficult to play in? Why has it been so difficult for Tennessee to win in the Swamp? They have won, again, I'm dating myself, I believe, since 2003 with Casey Clawson. I think it's been a long time since Tennessee's won down there.
I think the Swamp is one of the best atmospheres in football. And I know everybody's going to say that. Like, I know Rocky Top is. But I know, like, Death Valley says the same thing, and they are also great. But I think that the Swamp is just one of those places where it's incredibly difficult to go in there and win football games, mainly because you've got an insane crowd, incredibly rude crowd, which I love. You love when you're a part of it. So, insanely rude crowd. And there's 90,000 people there any given Saturday. So I think that it's just, it just piles up. And also, sure, let's say the humidity, not as much for other SEC schools. It doesn't impact them as much. But like when you're Utah last year, their players were puking in the third quarter. Like they came in here, we're going to be fine. It's not going to be that bad. And they were puking by the third quarter. So I think the Swamp is just one of the best atmospheres in football. I think that, you know, the SEC just means more, and I think that's very difficult to win anywhere on the road in the SEC.
Yeah, I'm not going to sit here and pretend that an 11 a.m. local time kick at LSU last year didn't help Tennessee. It 100% helped Tennessee. They jumped out, got that opening kickoff, beat the brains in, and then those guys didn't come back after halftime, some of those fans. So, looking at the schedule for Florida, Utah at the top, as I mentioned, Tennessee in week three. Sandwiched between McNeese and Charlotte. So at worst, at absolute worst, you're looking at 2-2 for Florida heading into the rest of the SEC schedule. You got Kentucky, that's away, which, you know, with Leary, I think they're going to be much better than what Kentucky was in 2022.
I agree.
Back home against Vanderbilt, that'll be a dub. On the road at South Carolina, which South Carolina is very much a variable in the SEC East this year, off week. Then you go to the world's largest cocktail party against Georgia, Arkansas at home, LSU on the road, Missouri on the road. Have fun there. Oh, what a horrible venue. And then Florida State at home. What do you make of the schedule? I know we talked about FanDuel 5.5, which, you know, sprint to the over there. But are you expecting 7-8 wins? I know it's going to be a rebuilding year.
Yeah, I think we see 7 from the Gators. I think that's it. I mean, you have the two that should be gimmies in the first 4 weeks with McNeese and Charlotte. Utah, I think even if Cam Rising plays, he's not going to be fully healthy. I just refuse to accept that you could tear your ACL, get surgery on it in January, and be perfectly ready for August 31st to come in and play. So I think Florida, after week four, should have 3 wins at least. We'll see with Tennessee how they look, obviously. A lot of change from both teams here coming over. So we'll see what they look like. Kentucky, I think Florida loses that one. You mentioned Devin Leary makes this team better than Will Levis did. How we mentioned with Anthony Richardson to Graham Mertz, your floor raises. I think the same thing happens with Devin Leary. Your floor raises from what Will Levis did. And that was my big selling point pre-draft with Will Levis, was like, I can't get on board with Will Levis because 2021 and 2022 were two of the worst Florida Gators defenses that I've ever seen, and they both beat the piss out of Will Levis. So I refuse to accept that he's going to be successful. Sorry, Titans fans. But Vanderbilt, you have to win that one. You have to. You can't lose to them 2 years in a row. You have to win. South Carolina, which Spencer Rattler is showing up here? Yeah. Like, is he going to be good Spencer Rattler, or is he going to be the one that we saw last year against the Gators? Georgia, L. Simple as that. Arkansas, I think, is a great matchup for Florida. I think their defense, just being super aggressive against an offense that wants to run the ball a ton, I think that you're going to have a tough time if you're Florida against Arkansas. LSU, you're probably losing that. Just you are. Just Jaden Daniels, I don't think he's going to be a good NFL quarterback, but I think for a college starter, he can destroy you anytime. And winning in Death Valley is just so difficult. You beat Missouri, most likely. Florida State, you probably lose to, but I mean, if you can get 7 wins, I'm genuinely comfortable with it. Like that's what I'm expecting from this team. Like I said, it's going to be a process to get back to the top if you're the Gators.
How do you see the SEC pecking order right now? So you got Heupel entering year 3, you got Napier entering year 2, Beamer entering year 3. Of course, you got Kirby and Georgia who are rolling. Eli Drinkwitz sucks in Missouri. Vanderbilt's better, but still in the cellar. Kentucky, depends on, I guess, who's, you know, running that offense and if it's an offensive coordinator from the NFL. Kind of how do you see the SEC East, and how close are teams like right now Tennessee and maybe even South Carolina from and Florida in its rebuild, kind of closing that gap with Georgia?
I think that Georgia's still at the top. They're going to be. I think Tennessee will still be number 2. I think that they just got a great team. You guys have a great team, as much as I hate to admit it. And then I think you see Kentucky jump South Carolina. I think Spencer Rattler is just way too inconsistent. And given how bad Will Levis was last year and how you have Devin Leary now in Kentucky, I think they take the step. I think Florida might be better than South Carolina, again, depending on which Spencer Rattler you get. Do you get end of year Spencer Rattler all year or not? But I also think that they got worse at their skill positions. So I think even if you have better Spencer Rattler, he can't drag the carcasses of the Gamecocks there. Missouri's at the dead bottom. I hate Eli Drinkwitz. I met him one time and he was incredibly rude to me. So he's at the bottom for me. Also, by the way, I forgot to tell you, week three, Florida is beating Tennessee because I spoke to Josh Heupel and I asked him to take it easy for 1 week. and so I was like, hey man, I love what you're doing. You're doing a great job, but I cover the Florida Gators. I'm a Gators fan. Just 1 week, I need you to not be great. And he said he would. So Florida's beating Tennessee this year. Sorry, I forgot to mention that.
Was this at the Senior Bowl?
It was at the Senior Bowl, yes. So that's what he said. He did not come to poker night. He did not. They flew out right after. But he was like, hey, I'd be there. He's like, if we weren't leaving, I'd be there. Believe me.
Shocking that Josh Heupel didn't have time to go play poker with you guys. Last thing I got for you, man, is I'm trying to take a trip around the SEC a little bit, talk to some guys and, you know, figure out the team Tennessee's going to be playing this year. You've been a great opening act, by the way. You've got Florida State. You've got LSU. You've got Georgia. You've got Tennessee. Those are your big rivals. I didn't miss anybody, did I? Okay. Those are your year in and year out. Those are your absolute biggest rivals. Where does Tennessee rank there? And, you know, what's it feel like as a lifelong Gators fan, kind of geared up and playing Tennessee every year?
I mean, I love Tennessee, and like the rivalry, not actual Tennessee. I hate you guys. I love the rivalry that Florida has with Tennessee. I don't like that Tennessee beat Florida last year, but I do like that it kind of breathes some new life into it because, you know, for a while, we've talked about it before when we've done crossovers where for so long it was just Florida winning, no matter how big or little, Florida winning, whether it's a Hail Mary or blowout, Florida wins games. So I like that it kind of breathes some life into it. Florida's on the receiving end of that one right now where they're just taking it. LSU's my favorite rivalry that Florida has just because I have quite a few friends that are LSU fans. And so it's just always fun to talk trash for a back and forth. Florida State, I kind of hate. I hate the rivalry itself just because I hate Florida State. It's fun to talk to. I asked Mike Norvell to do the same thing I asked Josh Heupel to do. He told me no. But Mike Norvell was just like, can't do it. It's a big game, obviously. But Florida, I feel like their fans suck. Their fans aren't fun. Tennessee fans have been fun. Georgia fans also suck. So I'd say Tennessee is, I'd say my second favorite rivalry behind LSU. Georgia, again, I just hate their fans. And not like in the fun troll way. Like I hate them personally. Same thing with Florida State. So I think Tennessee would be number two for me right now.
You know, surprisingly, I covered the Tennessee baseball team. I was down in Athens this past weekend. Didn't have any grown adult man bark at me. Maybe it's just a football thing. I don't know, but I didn't hear any barks this weekend.
They've gone soft.
Obviously, two national championships, they've gone soft. Brandon, appreciate it, man. Thanks so much. And again, give him a follow. I know if you're watching and listening to this podcast, you're not a Gators fan, but if you're an NFL fan, if you're an NFL draft fan, give Brandon a follow. He's at @WNS_Brandon. And hey, you don't have to, this is what I say to my audience too. You don't have to watch the show, but hey, subscribe to his channels. Help him out a little bit. That would mean an awful lot. Brandon, appreciate it, man. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
All right, that is Brandon Olson, the host of Locked On Gators, giving us a better feel of Tennessee and Florida in 2023. I'm going to answer your questions for the mailbag edition of the show that is coming up next right here on Locked On Vols. Having a whole lot of fun here on a Tuesday edition of Locked On Vols. Appreciate you guys for joining us. Brandon Olson was good, man. I know a lot of you guys, we get competitive, and we don't like when we do some crossovers, but man, he was really complimentary of Tennessee. Josh Heupel, I think what he said a lot was true in terms of kind of how, at least what he thinks is kind of what I think about some of the pecking orders in the SEC and some of the rivalries and all that. So really good conversation. I really hope over this next week and then probably take a breather next week while I'm out of town, because I'll have some pre-recorded episodes, but coming back, and as long as there is a, you know, a host available, I'm going to try to talk to them and kind of see where they are post-spring and all that type of stuff. So good stuff there from Brandon Olson. But now it is time to get into the Twitter Tuesday edition of the show. And with that, we will start with Trevor. Trevor says, for Twitter Tuesday, I need you to help make my expectations reasonable. I think of myself as a reasonable fan, but I like to think this upcoming season has potential to be better than last year's. I like our chances of going 11-1. I think our receivers will be really good this year. I think Joe is in the Heisman conversation. Our O-line is experienced. Our running back room is deep. The defense showed great flashes last year against LSU, Kentucky, Clemson. I think they build off those flashes. I really need my expectations reset. Please help me. First of all, I love that. That is some good stuff. I really just exited out of Tennessee's schedule, which is annoying. So when I'm recording live, I'm going to go click on it. All right, here we are. Yeah, great question. And it's funny, I was kind of talking on the VolQuest podcast about this, this week as well. Expectations versus, my expectations. And again, I'm not trying to be superior or act like my opinion means more than anybody else's, but I guess a media's perspective from a beat reporter, versus a fan. Because a lot of times the fans, gets Trevor said, can kind of get out of control a little bit. But I mean, I see 9 wins on the schedule. Easily, I see 9 wins on the schedule. Can Tennessee win a game it's not supposed to and drop down to 8 games? Sure. That's football. You're losing a whole lot of talent. But Tennessee, can beat Virginia, can beat Austin Peay, can beat Florida, can beat UTSA, can beat South Carolina, can beat A&M. It beat Alabama last year. What's to say you can't beat them again, right? Can beat Kentucky, can beat UConn, can beat Missouri. I don't know if Tennessee can beat Georgia right now. I understand they're going and changing the quarterback, but, that's the one where I just think, can Tennessee? Sure, but I don't have as much confidence in it as all the other games, and then it can beat Vanderbilt. Now, will Tennessee beat all those teams? No, that's not how football works, right? Especially in a year where you're reloading. I don't want to call it a rebuild because I think you're reloading. That's just kind of how I see it. I see Tennessee at 9-3 this year. I do. I think that's a safe number. Those 3 losses, could it be at the Swamp? Could it be at home? Could it be at Alabama? And could it be Georgia? Maybe. You hope not, because that's your big 3. You want to win at least 2 of those games. But does A&M sneak up and get you? Does South Carolina sneak up and get you? Do you lose on the road to Kentucky? I mean, there's a lot of these teams that, if they're on that day, they can win. But I think Tennessee's right there. As long as you get consistent quarterback play, does that have to be to the Heisman level as Hendon Hooker was last year? No, it does not, in my opinion. But can you get good, consistent quarterback play? If you do, this offense will go. This offense will score points, and this offense will score more points than that of its opponents. So that's kind of what I see. I don't see Joe Milton in the Heisman conversation right now. I would see him more in the first round of the NFL draft conversation than the Heisman conversation, in my opinion, but both of those are up to Joe, right? The offensive line, you have 2 holes in there right now. Think you're going to be fine at tackle, in my opinion. You got to find a guard. And Tennessee hasn't found a guard yet. Running back room is deep for sure. Defense got better in areas that matter. Always throw out the total yardage, stat for Tennessee, because they're going to be on the field more than the majority of defenses in the country. But I agree with you a lot of those things, man. I mean, expect 9 wins is what I would say. That's how I'm viewing this. It won't be as explosive. It won't be as good as last year's team, but I do think it's very easily a 9-win football team. So Trevor, good stuff there. Let's go to Braden. What Tennessee football team going into the year had the most hype surrounding them? And who has been your all-time favorite interview in your career? Oh, man. Not going to lie, I didn't read that until pressing recording. So I should have read this one before. I usually do. All right. The 05 Tennessee team, I believe, 05 or 06. Maybe it was 04. Angels your quarterback, preseason ranked number 3 in the country, and Tennessee finished 5-7, I believe. That I remember that year having so much hype going into it. You were literally number 3 ranked in the country, and you finished with a losing record. My favorite interview, man, I've had so many fun interviews. As far as quality of the interviews and like getting stuff out and all that, I don't know. David Cutcliffe, I don't think would be in that conversation, and not because he wasn't good. I enjoyed talking football with David Cutcliffe at SEC Media Days last year. That was fun for me. It was a whole lot of fun. I interviewed Brian Harsin at SEC Media Days 2 years ago, if you guys remember that. He was decent. I interviewed Butch Jones back when I was in college. You know, I mean, I've had a whole lot. I've interviewed Dale Murphy before. That was fun. I've interviewed Rusty Wallace. I've interviewed, I don't know, I'm sure I've interviewed a lot of Bruce Bochy. I've interviewed Brian Snitker. I mean, I've interviewed a lot of guys. It's been fun, you know, kind of doing this over the years. I did a baseball show with Mick Gillespie back when I first started at 99.1. And, you know, his baseball contact, you know, Rolodex or whatever that's called. I mean, it's deep. And so, you know, we interviewed a ton of all, like Ben Ingram. I've interviewed him countless times. He's come on, not this show, but he come on a radio show plenty of times. And he's the voice of the Braves and one of the best voices in Major League Baseball, in my opinion. So I'll have to think about that and get back to you. But those are some that kind of jump off the top of my head in terms of, you know, favorite interviews, if you will. Good stuff there, Brayden. Let's go to Tim. Nope, just kidding. That was about something else. Let's go to James. Nope, just kidding. That was last week. All right. We got one more. We got one more. It's in my bookmark section. And here it is. It's from Jason. How confident do you feel about J.J. Harrell after he tweeted that his recruitment was wide open to anyone interested in him? You know, this day and age and recruiting, man, it is... until it's official, anything can happen, right? I mean, J.J. Harrell, he committed kind of early in this cycle, but not early, like Jonathan Echols and stuff like that. You always got to watch on some of those first few to see if they want to stay the course, if they, you know, totally buy into being the recruiter for the class and they're 100% sold in, or if they're going to savor the moment, savor the experience, take all their visits. And again, I'm not bashing anybody that wants to do that. This is your one chance. Well, now with the transfer portal, I guess you can get another chance, but this is typically your one chance where you can take advantage of it. And they're changing the recruiting calendar and all that, or the recruiting stipulations to where you can take as many official visits as you want, which is just crazy to think about. So, you know, pretty soon it'll be more than five. You know, take advantage of that, go experience it, have fun with your family. I would say, no, I'm not worried about that right now, but that's one that you got to watch out for the entire time. If you're Tennessee, you got to continue to recruit him and all these guys as if they're not committed. I think it's big that Tennessee has its quarterback in this class and Jake Merklinger. So J.J. Harrell knows who his future quarterback is going to be. And of course, Nico's already here as well. So I wouldn't worry about that too much. We'll chat with Matt Ray. Hopefully he's going to be one of my guests next week. And I'll ask him that question about J.J. Harrell as well. But that's kind of how I view it right now. But I mean, you know, you got to recruit these guys 24/7, even if they're committed. And what baffles me is, like, you'll have guys who sign in December and then coaches will still go watch them play basketball or something, or go visit them on the road at the end of December. It's like, what are you doing? They're signed. Like you're wasting resources and you're wasting your time. That's just me, but that's kind of where I stand right there. Not many Twitter Tuesday questions, but that's okay because we went a little overtime with Brayden Olson. Good show today. Had a whole lot of fun. Thank you, as always, for tuning in. Tomorrow, we'll continue to talk about Tennessee football, hopefully talk to another SEC host, as the next one we'll talk to, hopefully, is that of South Carolina. So looking forward to that. All that and more right here on Locked On Vols. Shout out every dayers. You guys are the best. We'll see you again tomorrow right here on Locked On Vols.